America's foremost hatter with 3,000 stores and dealers from coast to coast, brings you a Gene Town audience participation program, Star for a Night, featuring Paul Douglas, our special guest, Laird Cregar, and starring $1,001. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, 1,001 good, hard Adam Hat dollars will be awarded tonight on this program to the contestants selected by the votes of the audience here in the Ritz Theater in New York as this week's Star for a Night. And here's the man everybody's waiting for, that genial gentleman with his pockets full of jingle jangle, that high-stepping guy with a gleam in his eye, your Adam Hat paymaster of ceremonies, Paul Douglas.
Thank you. Thank you, Hugh James. Thank you, everybody, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, that Adam Hat fight bell brings everyone right up on their toes to cheer the contestants for competing for tonight's major award of $1,001 on our Adam Hat Star for a Night program. Now, three amateurs who simply came in as visitors to our program from somewhere in greater New York. And one of these three will leave this program tonight with $1,001 for giving the most entertaining and amusing performance in our Star for a Night production of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Oh, incidentally, you members of the radio audience may have a chance to participate in this program by simply writing to the Blue Network for tickets for Star for a Night. It's everybody's opportunity to win $1,001 and play opposite a famous Hollywood star. And now, hold on to your seats as death takes a holiday and spends it with us here on the stage of the Ritz Theater. Our guest of honor, that mangling, strangling, gruesome twosome of movie-dom, monster, I mean Mr. Laird Cregar.
But what went on out there?
A fella named Adam tried to sell me a hat. Persistent guy.
Eh? Why, that is our sponsor.
You mean that was your sponsor?
Yes. Well, Laird, it's so nice of you to have come.
Don't mention it.
Look, Laird, seriously for a moment. I'd like to get some details about your background. You know, something about your early life.
Well, Paul, I ran away from home when I was two. When I was three, I came back and my folks ran away from home.
Heard that somewhere before,
yes,
haven't we?
Yes, we have.
By the way, old fellow, did you show any talents in your tender years?
What?
Did you show any talents when you were young?
I used to sing.
Oh, really?
Every morning I'd stroll down to the corner and serenade the butcher.
What did you sing?
Oh, give me something to dismember you by.
Oh, no, really? Fantastic fellow, you. But seriously, Laird, what a life you must have led.
Oh, I suppose it has been drab, Paul. But I've had my moments.
Yes?
For instance, there was my 12th birthday. How well I remember. I spent the whole day looking over bodies.
Ooh, how horrible.
Oh, they had some pretty good burlesque shows in those days. You know, Paul, it wasn't long after that I made my first pictures.
Well, I guess your mother was very proud.
Yeah, Paul, she was. She took all of her friends down to the post office to look at them.
I'll stop for 4 minutes and explain that joke.
I'll stop for five.
All right, but you can pick it up from there.
But then the public's recognition of my great talent in Hollywood has been very kind to me.
Uh-huh.
I found there my own kind of people. Repulsive, treacherous, cold-blooded. You know, Lugosi and Laura and Karloff. I'll never forget the first evening I was at Karloff's house for dinner.
Do tell me about it, will you?
Well, Paul, I noticed some strange creatures flying around the ceiling, and I asked Boris what they were. And he said they were his daughters. So I said, but Boris, they look exactly like bats. And he said, well, what can you do, Laird, this younger generation?
Oh, no. Well, Mr. Krieger.
Cregar, if you don't
mind.
Oh,
I beg your pardon. Cregar. I see. C-R-E-G-A-R, pronounced on the Fox lot out in Hollywood as plenty of talent with a numlot over the option, I trust.
What's an option?
Well, all right. Something that drops occasionally, but in your case, I hope never. We would like to know what your future plans are, really.
Well, Paul, my next step is producing pictures.
Yeah?
I want to make the most horrible picture ever made. But I'm pressed for a star. I need a man who has no soul, a heart of stone, the conceit of a brass monkey, and the brains of a rhinoceros.
Really?
That's right. Paul, what are you doing?
Well, I didn't know my brother was in the audience. But I'd like to know really what you're driving at. What are you implying with that?
Exactly what I said. You have a heart of stone, the conceit of a brass monkey, and the brains of a rhinoceros.
All right. I just wanted to know. That's all, really. Tonight you're going to play the double title role in a great thing. Robert Louis Stevenson's immortal horror story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. In the first scene, Dr. Jekyll mixes opium, potassium cyanide, nitroglycerin, and prussic acid, and drinks it down.
But, Paul, why does he drink that?
I don't know, but
he'll be sorry.
Laird, he changes slowly into a small, dried-up, weak little creature who looks more dead than alive.
Oh.
And then he opens his mouth.
And then he says, I'm going to buy myself a paper doll.
Thank you very much, Laird. Tonight on our Laugh and Get Rich show, we're going to do the dramatic adaptation of the great American classic written by Robert Louis Stevenson, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. For two generations, this tale of blood and horror has chilled the marrow of young and old alike. Before the startled gaze of thousands of audiences, such great actors as John Barrymore, Frederick March, and Spencer Tracy have quaffed the infernal liquor that has changed them from the gentle, handsome Dr. Jekyll to the fearful, monstrous Mr. Hyde. Now, tonight, under the auspices of Adam Hatz, Mr. Laird Krigar, currently appearing in another chiller thriller, which is the 20th Century Fox production of The Lodger, now playing at the Roxy, Laird Krigar is going to make that famous change for us once again. Thank you, Mr. Roxy. That's fine. Now, in this Robert Louis Stevenson play, the season throughout is winter. The time throughout is 1890. The place throughout is London, and the hats throughout are Adam.
Reminds me, Paul, it's about time I threw out an Adam. Here go.
Well, there goes a hat out. A nice Adam. Somebody got it. But you, old pal, you... please, ladies, don't fight over a man's hat. Hugh, if I may intrude, old boy, the introductions, remember?
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul, but look, I've got to work in a commercial right about
that
here.
Is neither Robert, Lewis, nor Stevenson.
Well, but you better let me get this commercial in, or Mr. Adam will bring suit against you.
Well, I hope he does. It's a pinstripe. Say, I shouldn't have said that. Hugh James, look who's up there in the balcony, will you? Look, no, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, it's Boris Karloff. Really? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, madam, I'm sorry. However, we throw a few hats up in the audience. And, by the way, I see a couple of scientists up there who want a straw hat, you.
Well, Paul, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to split the atom, if you get what I mean. But I think you can carry on right from
here. Ladies and gentlemen, the play is about to begin. Grip your chairs, anchor down your toupees, and get ready to eat your program from cover to cover. Have no fears. If you're of sound mind, you'll survive this performance with nothing worse than dementia praecox, which is Latin for I'm going to buy myself a scissors so I can cut out paper dolls. So don't be nervous. The ushers will pass down the azole and administer artificial It says that right here. And here we go, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, performed by a cast of amateurs chosen from our studio audience and by our studio audience. All citizens of Greater New York who took a moment during the week to write to the Blue Network for tickets. And are now about to have a chance to earn $1,001. Our cast includes Mr. Harry Horowitz, a printer from New York, in the role of Dr. Jekyll's lawyer, Mr. Utterson. Miss Satmore, a typist from New York, in the role of Miss Malloy, the boarding house keeper. Mr. Foreman, a federal mediator from New York, as Dr. Lanyon, Jekyll's best friend. And in the two roles of Jekyll and Hyde, those two great actors, Mr. Laird and Mr. Krigar. The show is on.
Thank you, Hugh James. That was swell. Now, Laird, we're expecting you to give all of yourself in this... Well, at least 250 pounds or so. Now, remember, these people are looking forward to a crack at that major award of $1,001. Of course, there are other awards. Everybody wins something, but they're all anxious to be a star for a night. So, Laird, go in there and play this Robert Louis Stevenson play as it's never been played before.
All right, Paul. And if you hear a whirring sound during my performance, that'll be Mr. Stevenson spinning around in his grave.
Oh, say not so. Okay, Hugh James, let's have the first contestant.
Right, Paul, this is Mr. Horowitz.
Mr. Horowitz, just climb around, Mr. Krigar.
Howard, it's not
well, you.
Let's get a corpse together.
That's wonderful. You've met Mr. Cregar. Now, suppose you come in a little closer to the microphone. Don't be at all nervous.
No.
That's a handsome set of threads you've got on there. I like that very much. What your occupation is that of a printer, I see. Is that right? Where do you make your residence? Where do you live? What?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? Well,
good old Brooklyn.
Good old Brooklyn. Well, that's a wonderful place to come from, I suppose. I don't know. Tell me this. You don't mind if I ask you a few questions.
Certainly.
You know, it's all in fun. By the way, what kind of a hat do you wear?
Adam's hat.
You do, really?
You don't
have to say it. I mean, are you related
to
the sponsor? Is that why you say that?
No.
Because, you know, nobody related to the sponsor or working for the Blue Network can be on this program.
I really wear an Adam's hat.
You really wear an Adam's? Well,
congratulations
on your taste. By the way, have you ever been on the stage before?
No, never.
Never in your life?
First time.
Haven't even recited at a party or anything like that?
Yes, when I was about two.
Were you going to say about two sheets to the wind or just about two?
2 years old.
Which, by the way, would you say is creepier, a night in Dr. Jekyll's house or a day in a suit of red flannels?
A day in a suit of red flannels.
All right. You're going to play the part of a lawyer, so I've got to ask you a few personal questions about that. Did you spend any time at the bar?
The bar?
Do you own a bottle of scotch outright, my issue?
Correct.
Well, I want to talk to you later. Are you married?
Correct.
Oh, you know what it means to lead a double life, then. You. I really think you'll be a natural for Mr. Utterson, so just listen closely while we set the scene here. Now, in this scene, you play the part of a lawyer. You're a warm, lovable character opposing the evil that is devouring your friend, Dr. Jekyll. Now, this is for $1,001, Mr. Horowitz, so be on your toes. Now, remember, this is the big moment. You know, you're a star right now. I'm going to ask you for your autograph in a moment. The Klieg lights, you know how they watch the celebrities go into the theater? Well, that is you. You're the movie man right now. And you've got to portray this scene. It's a dark night in London. It's so foggy you can't see in front of you. Now, you walk into Dr. Jekyll's drawing room, and Dr. Jekyll, as played by Mr. Cregar, will give you the first line. Here we go.
Pardon me, a little frog in my throat.
I would think so. Now, here we go. Take it away, will you, Laird?
Mr. Utterson, sir, I have great need of your legal services. I would have your advice on several important questions.
Very good, sir. You may ask me 3 questions for $50 in American money.
$50 for 3 questions? Isn't that dreadfully high?
Yes, you have 2 questions left.
What? Oh, then I might ask why you followed me last night down to Limehouse.
I wasn't following you. I was going to get a limeade.
Oh, forget that was in the script.
Don't be afraid of it either. Just stand right up there and act good.
Very well.
For all your worth. Pick it up, will you, Larry? Thank you.
I was picking it up.
All right, we'll pick it up again where
Thank you. Very well. Then I will still trust you, old friend. I am going to make my last will and testament. Will you give me a quill, Phil? I want to make a will.
I don't have a quill. Don't you realize there's a war going on?
There is not a war going on. This is 1890. Look in your script.
That's what I keep telling them down at the draft board.
Utterson.
See you there pitching. Go ahead, Larry.
Utterson, I lead an utterly double life. I'm scarcely human. People follow me on the street and I'm afraid of them. Tell me, how can I get away from them?
Okay, Jekyll, hide.
My life, you know, is a dreadful routine, Utterson. Each night I sneak stealthily to the chemist's and buy a bottle of sulfur and cyanide. Then I drink it, and I become a different man, a monster. And then in the early dawn I stumble downstairs to the chemist's again.
For what?
To get my 2 cents back on the bottle. What else?
Give it 20 here. This is a big speech for you.
No wonder you are unhappy, Jekyll, living in this huge house alone, each room with its adjoining ghost. You need someone to give you new strength, to crush you in their arms, to make you tingle from head to foot.
Thank you, no. I've had my army physical.
Well, I can give you no more advice. I have done all I can.
Then there is only one thing left for me to do.
That's your line there.
Oh, no, not that.
I must. If you can't solve my problem, I have no other choice.
Then goodbye, old friend, and give Mr. Anthony my regards.
Thank you, Mr. Horowitz. You were utterly, utterly Utterson. Now, Hugh James, our next contestant.
Paul, this is Miss Setmori.
Miss Setmori, that's just relax here at the microphone.
I am.
I want you to meet...
How can I relax?
How can you relax?
Cat.
What?
Relax.
Well, this is Mr. Kriegar, Miss Setmori. Won't
how
you folks
do you
say
so?
How do you do?
Relax, I'm bigger than you are.
Oh, well, get there. My arm,
a very determined girl. I think we'd better relax. Now, would you mind if I asked you a few questions?
Certainly.
Gee. All right. Gee. Oh, gee, this is wonderful.
I tell you why I'm so perturbed.
You are what?
It's the one night when I should have dressed nicely.
Well, you look very nicely, if I don't mind.
You don't mind.
That's right. That's the only thing you can do.